Revelation chapter 1 says this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servant what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from the one, for him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom of and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos. And because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and Smyrna, to Pergam, Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest, and his head and hair were white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me. Sorry, every time I read that, it gets me. He placed his right hand on me, and he said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this: the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Here ends the reading of Revelation chapter 1. May you be blessed by its words. This morning I'm looking at another description of Christ, and last two weeks we were looking at the idea of the sevenfold spirits that is talked about in verse 4, the sevenfold spirits that were before his throne. And we looked at how each one of those sevenfold spirits applied itself to Christ, and how Jesus was the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Not only was he the Son of God, but he was also the personification of that Spirit of God that was living on the earth. And so now we're looking at the description of Jesus himself when it says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. There's three descriptions of Christ, and those three descriptions are going to be fleshed out. They're going to be more explained even more fully throughout the book of Revelation. But this morning, I'd just like to take a brief description of these three ideas, these three descriptions of Jesus, when it says that he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. The faithful witness. What does it mean to be a faithful witness? First of all, there's two words in the midst of that description. You've got faithful and you've got witness. First of all, we're going to take a look at the idea of being a witness, because each and every one of us is called to be a witness. Do you realize that? We're not called to be a judge. Everyone got that in your hearts? You're not the judge. Say with me, I am not the judge. Very good. I appreciate it. Say, I am not the jury. I am a witness. Say that. I am a witness. That's what we're called to be. And Jesus is called the faithful witness. What does a witness do? Okay? A witness has a very simple, very easy job. Basically, a witness is just there to proclaim or to explain or to testify to what he has seen, what he's seen with his eyes, what he's heard with his ears, or what he has experienced in his life. That's what a witness is supposed to do. A witness, a good witness, can't make things up. They can't say, well, I saw this happen, so I'm assuming that this happened before, or this is what's going to happen next. That's not what a witness is able to do. A witness is only supposed to testify to what they have seen, what they have heard, or what they've experienced themselves. They can't speculate. They can't make things up. They're not supposed to. They're just supposed to testify to what they know. And that's what Jesus came for. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. It said very plainly about Jesus himself. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says John chapter 1. I get excited, and so I want to keep rolling. So John chapter 1, verse 14 says this. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. And this is the Gospel of John. Okay, so this is John speaking. So he's testifying here. Okay, he says, the Word became flesh. It's talking about Jesus. And made his dwelling among us. That's talking about Jesus. We have seen his glory. That's talking about Jesus. The glory, the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the reason that Jesus came was to bring grace into the world through his death and resurrection, but also he came to bring truth. As a matter of fact, if you look at Jesus' ministry, if you read through the Gospels, and I encourage you to do that because it's just an encouragement throughout the week if you read through the Gospels and see the life of Jesus and the way he did things. But if you read through the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, you will see several times where Jesus says this before he talks to the crowd, before he expresses something. He says, I tell you what? What's he say? I tell you the truth. He says that over and over and over again. He says, I tell you the truth. And when Jesus says that, he means it. He's not telling you the truth according to his world, according to his perception, or according to what he saw. He's telling you the truth coming directly from God. Because when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, every word that he spoke, every action that he took, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago, everything that Jesus did, he was doing directly from God. He did not speak a single word that God did not direct him to speak. He did not take a single action that God did not direct him to take. He did not go to a single place that God did not already direct him to go. Everything he did, everything he said while on this earth was a direct direction from God. So everything he said was the truth. It came from him. There's an amazing passage back in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. It talks about this. And this isn't the only one, believe me. Whew, I could take you to so many different passages. It talks about the witness and the faithful witness of Jesus Christ and the prophecy about this coming Messiah that's talking about that he is going to reveal the truth to us. Isaiah chapter 55. Turn back a few pages there. And I'm actually just going to read the beginning part of Isaiah because it's just a really cool passage and you need to hear it. It says, come, because I don't want to take it out of context either. It says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Here, I hope you're hearing these words. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. Verse 4, this is what I'm looking at. See, I have made him what? I've made him a witness, a faithful witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Do you hear what he says? He says, I'm sending you a witness. I'm sending you a faithful witness. I'm sending you a guy who knows things that you know nothing about, and you can trust the words that he says. As a matter of fact, if I wrote it down, I hope I did. In John chapter 3, Jesus even talks about this. When he's talking to, who's the guy that came to him in the middle of the night? Huh? What? Nicodemus. All right, good. I forgot. That's why I was actually. So here we go. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he says, John chapter 3, now there was a man named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. This is like one of the high priests, not the high priest, but one of the ruling council guys, the one who's supposed to know all the answers. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. You hear that? We know you. That just gets me, because this is early on in Jesus' ministry. And this is Nicodemus, one of the high council guys, okay? And he comes to Jesus and he says, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. They knew it. They just decided to deny it and run away from it. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with them. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Did you hear that? No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with what everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus says, You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. Jesus is talking about himself and the things that he's been talking about, the kingdom of God. The reason that Jesus can talk about the kingdom of God and what is coming and what it's going to be like and give all these different parables is because he has seen the kingdom of God. He knows the kingdom of God. He has lived in the kingdom of God. He understands it. Have you all seen it? Have you seen the kingdom of God? Seen what it's like? Have you seen the pearly gates? Have you seen the glassy sea? Have you seen any of that stuff? Neither have I. Should we be testifying and being a witness to the kingdom of God, the idea of what heaven is going to be like? No. I haven't seen it. We have a description of it in Revelation and other parts of the scripture that we can talk about. But Jesus is saying, I've seen it. What I'm telling you is the truth about what's going on. He says, I have spoken to you not of earthly things, and you do not believe it. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. You see, what Jesus is talking about throughout his ministry and throughout Revelation that he's going to be revealing to us are the things that he knows about. He is the faithful witness. It's amazing. Jesus was faithful to that same testimony all the way through his life, even to the point of death. When he's before Pilate, he gives his testimony before Pilate, and he says, I tell you the truth. And remember what Pilate says? What is truth? I don't even know what truth is. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the truth. I am the king. I am the one that the prophets have spoken about. See, Jesus was faithful to that witness all the way through. What does Jesus say about faithfulness? Because he's called us all to be judges, right? Whew, good. Didn't trick you. He called us all to be judges? No. He called us all to be jurors? No. He called us all to be witnesses? Yes. But he's called us to be also faithful witnesses. Not just Jesus. Jesus is not just a faithful witness. It's all those who proclaim him and stay faithful to his word throughout all generations. And the reason this is so important, especially the book of Revelation when he's writing it, is because the persecution that was going on in the church at that point in time was getting more and more severe. When the time that John was writing this to the Christians throughout those seven churches, the persecution because of the Roman authority, because of the Caesar worship, because they were saying that Caesar was God, was becoming more and more severe. As a matter of fact, they were saying, if you did not bow down to Caesar, if you did not say that Caesar was God, if you did not pray to Caesar, that you could be executed, that you could be killed, okay? And so the Christians were the ones who were standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to bow down to Caesar. I'm not going to bend my knee. I'm not going to face him. He's not my God. And so they were being persecuted. They were being put to death over and over again. I got to read a letter. I should go grab it real quick. I won't. I got to read a letter in one of the commentaries that I'm reading. It's called Revelation Rhapsody by Bob Lowry. And he actually printed in his book one of the letters from one of the Roman authorities that was sending a letter back to the highest authority in Rome. And he's asking questions what he should do with these Christians and how he was interrogating them and doing these different things. It's the actual words that was written way back then, asking the questions of how to deal with these Christians and what they were doing. He's basically saying, hey, some of them, you know, they get accused of being a Christian, they come in, all I got to do is say, hey, you've got to deny him. And some of them lay down really quick. They say, yep, I don't know who you're talking about. Where's the Caesar dude you want me to bow down to? I'll bow down to him right now. He says, those people I just let go. Some of them I have to bring them before me 3 or 4 times before they're willing to do it. And he says, some of them will never deny this Jesus guy. And he says, so those I just put to death. And he was actually asking for approval if that's what he was supposed to be doing. The letter was absolutely amazing. It's about 2 pages long as a part of this book. And I was reading it, and I'll tell you the truth, I started tearing up. I started tearing up because of the faithfulness of the believers who were living at that point in time, who were literally risking their lives for the truth of the gospel. And it made me realize, how committed are we to the truth of the gospel? Because at some point in time, and I don't know when it's going to come, but at some point in time, Christians within our world, within our time period, are going to be facing those same questions. The invasion. And I'm not saying against Muslims, but I'm saying against the faith that we have in Christ. At some point in time, people are going to say, you've got to deny this Jesus guy. And the time to try and decide how faithful and how true you're going to be to that witness is not at that moment. It's not in the heat of the battle. It's not when the flames are facing you, and it's not when the blade is looking at you from the pointed edge. It's not at that point in time that you need to start trying to decide whether you're going to be a faithful witness. It's now. It's making that decision in your mind right now and start practicing it. Start stepping out in your faith right now and seeing and experiencing the faithfulness of God in the small things right now in your everyday life, so that you can see that God is faithful, that He will not let you fall. He will not let you stumble. He will take care of you. You see, that's what builds a faithful witness. Just reading through your Bible, saying, oh, here's that whole Jesus thing. Yeah, I accept Him. I don't have anything better to do today. I might as well accept Jesus, and I go to church a few times a week or different things like that. That is not a faithful witness. That is not putting your faith into action. That's not growing in your faith. It's not going to stand the test of time. It's not going to stand the test of persecution when it starts to happen. Now listen to me. I'm not saying tomorrow, you know, everything's going to blow up and all of a sudden we're going to have to be hiding in the rocks and things. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying at some point in time, because of God's faithful word that is faithful and true, that time is coming. I'm not trying to scare you. Trying to prepare you. The time to make that decision is not in the heat of the moment. The time is now to practice that faith, becoming a faithful witness in the small things. You remember the whole parable that Jesus said? You remember that parable in Matthew chapter 25 and 24? Chapter 24, verse 45, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Who is the faithful and wise servant? You understand the context that's going on here? If you just back up just a little bit in your Bible, if you have those little headings, it says the day and the hour unknown. It's talking about the same context. That faithful and wise servant, that faithful and wise witness. Listen to what it says. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? I'm going to back up to verse 42. Therefore, keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. Nobody knows except the Father. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So also, you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Not just trying to get ready because he thinks he's coming right now, but the one who is faithful and continually doing what God is calling them to do. Those are the ones who will have the faith to stand the test. I don't know why this popped in my head. This isn't like a test that you've got in school that you know is going to come on Wednesday, and so you ignore it all the way through the weekend. You have a good time throughout the weekend, but you know the test is Wednesday, and Monday comes, and you're thinking, wow, I really need to study through that. You know, I need to get ready for that test, but it's on Wednesday, so I got two more days. And so Tuesday finally comes, and the test is on Wednesday, and all of a sudden, Tuesday night, you think, wow, I've got this test. You know this, don't you, Pat? You're excited. I can see it. Pat's like, wow, I know this. I've done this before. Tuesday night, you're like, wow, I got all this information. So you sit down with the book. You don't do this, do you, Sydney? You start cramming. You're going through the pages, and you're cramming all this stuff in your head. You're trying to get it crammed, and finally you go into the test, and you sit down at the desk, and you got all this stuff going in your head. And I know this feeling so well, because the paper gets put in front of you, and you just want to spew it all out as fast as you can before you forget it and write it down. Right, amen? Get through it as quick as you can. Whew! Now I forgot all that stuff I just crammed in my head Tuesday night. Did that information do you any good? Probably didn't even do you very good for the test. You see, sometimes I think Christians think they're going to do the same thing. Well, when I start seeing the real signs of Jesus come, then I'll start getting ready. I'll start cramming and I'll get myself to be a faithful witness at that point in time. And Jesus is saying, you know what? The faithful and wise servant doesn't do that. He just keeps doing the things that he's supposed to do. He's faithful, meaning doing it over and over again, continually growing in their faith and in their witness and the things that God is calling them to do. Don't think for a second that you're fooling him. He knows. Faithful witness. Jesus gives us the example. And the reason I say that's not just Jesus' title, because he also uses that same title as a faithful witness to a guy later on in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. He's talking to the church in Pergamum. And he says, you did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness. The only faithful witness that Jesus mentions in Revelation. Right there. It's something he's calling us to be. A faithful witness. And from Jesus Christ, I'm going to stop. Because I so want to get into this firstborn from the dead, but I'm not going to, because I know it's going to take more than 5 minutes. You want to have a really cool study before next Sunday? Look at the idea of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead. There's absolutely some really cool stuff there. You'll be prepared. You'll be able to answer, shout out some questions and stuff like that next week when you come, because Jesus is the first, not only the faithful witness, but he is the firstborn of the dead. Absolutely amazing thing. You can go back and look at all the people who came back to life and the difference between... I'm starting to preach. Stop. Stop already. All right, so I'm done. So, I didn't know I was going to be done there. So where are you at? I've kind of laid out some heavy things. It's not about the future, it's about the present. Revelation is about the present, what we're doing right now, how we're preparing for what God has in store for us. Not the gloom and doom and the pain and the agony and all the different things He's preparing us right now for what he's got in store for us in heaven. And only Jesus knows what that's going to be like. I would be a liar if I sat here and tried to describe the amazingness of eternity with God. I have no idea. But I know it's going to be good, because that faithful and true witness, Jesus Christ, said he's going to go prepare a place for me. He's preparing a place for me. And he says, if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me where I am. be amazing. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. So what do you have to do to get prepared for this amazing thing that God has for us? First of all, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way, one truth, one life, and it comes through Jesus. You got to believe in Him and know Him. Just like Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus at night, he says, what must I do? He says, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. He's talking about a watery grave. He says, what must I do to receive Jesus? He says, you've got to repent. You need to repent. Repent from your sins. And then it says, be baptized. There's an order into what Christ is talking about, what Peter is talking about in the book of Acts. He says, repent and then be baptized. There's an order to it. I can't repent as a little kid. I've got to understand my sin. I've got to understand what I'm doing wrong before I can repent from it. It says, then be baptized, be washed, be made clean, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual way, so that Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, can dwell within you, so that you can be made whiter than snow. And then he says, that's not it. You don't just come up with the water and say, okay, now I can go and do whatever you want. He says, go and live a life that will honor and glorify God. Come in the likeness of Christ. What's He calling you to do? What step is He asking you to make? For some of you, maybe it's that very first step of just repentance, your recognition that I am lost and I am going to hell without Jesus Christ in my life. And the first step that I've got to do is recognize it, admit it, and repent and say, I'm sorry, God. If you can't come to the point where you can say, I'm sorry, God, you are in sorry shape because you don't recognize your condition right now. It's a simple thing to say, you know what? I'm right, you are wrong. No, you're right and I'm wrong. I said that totally wrong. See how messed up we can get so quickly? Someone should have been throwing something at me right there. I'm wrong, you're right. I'm having trouble even saying that. Lord, help me. I need some power in order to keep me saying that in my life because I need to say it over and over and over each day. I need to recognize the wrongness of my life and turn to God. I need help doing that. And God says, you know what? You need help doing that. You need help continually repenting, continually coming before Him and saying, I need your help. I need to look to you for righteousness. He says, I got a plan for you. If you'll repent right now and be washed, He says, I'll give you that Holy Spirit that's going to guide you along the way. That helps you continue to look to me for the answers, for your strength for each day. Accept Him. Start that journey with Him today. If you started that journey with Him years ago, you need to remember that He's calling you to be a faithful witness. The things of this world are going to disappear. They have no value. Zero. None. They're going to be destroyed by moth and rust and fire. It's going to all be gone. The things that we're putting so much stock in, the things that we're putting so much emphasis on, none of it's going to last. The only thing that's going to last is our relationships that we have with Jesus Christ. Even the relationships that we don't have with Jesus, they're not going to last. If someone that we know does not know Jesus, we don't get to take that with us to heaven because they're going to another place. Wow, we got to get serious about what's going on here. Don't be afraid. Stand up and be the faithful witness that God's called you to be. Let's make a decision today. Let's make it as we sing this song. Let's stand up and be bold before God and say, I want your will for my life and not my own. Show me what changes I need to make. Show me what direction and what steps I have to take right now today. And help me not shrink back in fear, but to step forward in power. And the knowledge that you are my faithful witness. And you will stand before the judge and say my name. Say, He is mine. I have paid for Him. I have bought Him with the blood of Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.